Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be back here to see everybody. Ah, Dave, you're here. Yeah, praise the Lord. When did you come? The 16th? Yes. Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah. Well, this coming weekend, we're going to use a time to fellowship, especially in the book of Hebrews. I think in this last, especially 1 year, the Lord has burdened our heart very much to get into the book of Hebrews. And I believe that Hebrews is one of the hardest books, really, for many of the Christians to grasp and to understand. So because this book deals with our going on with the Lord to perfection. Let us just read together, for example, chapter 6. Before we go to chapter 6, let's read the last part of chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, and then chapter 6, verse 1. Okay, let's read it together, right? We all have the New King James Version. Okay, read it slowly. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, etc. Right? Of baptisms, resurrection from the dead, of eternal judgment. Right? All of these are the elementary principles of the oracle of God. And unfortunately, many of the believers today remain in this elementary level. And we shouldn't be doing that. And the writer of Hebrews encourages us to leave that. We have to leave that. And go on to perfection. Right? And this is really very much in God's heart. Spiritually, we all need to go on to perfection. Right? Many of us just think about being saved and praise the Lord, I'm a Christian, I will not be condemned eternally, right? I won't be judged anymore, I received forgiveness of sins, and then, well, waiting to go somewhere up there. But we never thought in terms of perfection. We need to be perfected. As a Christian, God's purpose is to perfect us spiritually. Right? Just like your human life, right? It's very easy to be born, right? And after you're born, don't think that's good enough. We Christians talk about being born again, right? Are you a born-again Christian? Oh, yes, I'm a born-again Christian, right? But hey, you cannot just stay there. After you're born, goodness, you're how old now? About 26, 27, somewhere around that area. You're being perfected today, right? From the day you were born until today, how much perfection do you need? How many years of schooling, right? And it's not good enough just to graduate elementary school, right? You think it's good enough? I don't think so, right? You have to go to high school. Is high school good enough? For some, maybe, right? But for others, they want to go into college. And after college, they want to go to graduate school, right? Even you can go on to perfection, become a PhD in engineering or whatever, in physics, or, right? You have that concept of going on to perfection, right? But in the spiritual realm, I don't think many of us have this concept. I'm sorry to say this. You're just a Christian, and that's it. You're happy, you're saved, and you don't go on. And so throughout your whole Christian life, you're just drinking milk. Meaning to say that you remain, what, a spiritual babe. Don't do that. It is not very good. Right, year after year, and people are sitting there in the pew and listening to a message and go home and just doing that all the time. And they never thought about growing into maturity. So this book, the book of Hebrews, has a very important burden, and that is to bring us to maturity, to bring all of us, the believers, all of God's people, we have to grow and go into perfection. And the Greek word for perfection means also maturity. We need to be spiritually mature. You cannot just believe in the Lord, yes, I'm saved by believing in the existence of God, and that's it. If I tell you to tell me more, then, well, what more can I tell you, right? So, you cannot be such a Christian. No, it is not good. And there's so many warnings in the book of Hebrews to tell us that if we do not go into maturity, well, we Christians one day will be judged by the Lord. Yeah. Don't think there's no judgment for us. Okay? So, almost in every two or three chapters, there's a very strong warning. So if you would go through the book of Hebrews, you can really see there is a lot of warning. Right? For example, let's go to chapter 2 of Hebrews. Therefore, it says, let me read to you, we must give the more earnest heed, not just to pay attention, but to pay attention earnestly, seriously, right? To the things which we have heard, lest we drift away in your Christian life. It's so easy to drift away. You'll be distracted by your job, your work, school, right? Whatever you're doing the whole day, right? You're very easily distracted. Can you imagine you just go to school 1 hour a week, right? Go to school 1 hour a week. You think you can learn something? How many hours you went to school when you were in college? A lot, almost every day. Now, consider your spiritual life. You go to a meeting 1 hour a week to listen to a message, and at home you don't even read your own Bible. And you're not even sure whether the pastor who is speaking to you is speaking the truth or speaking nonsense. How are you going to know if you don't read the Bible yourself? And 1 hour a week sitting there at the university in, where did you go to school? UST. You think you can graduate food science by just sitting there 1 hour a week? No, you cannot. Right. Now, being a Christian, just 1 hour a week or two at most, you go to a meeting, you think you're going to go on to perfection. You must be kidding yourself. So here, it warns us that we have to take earnest heed to the things which we have heard and even read in the Bible. Otherwise, you will drift away. Yeah. Check your own heart. Is your heart really burning for the Lord? Do you have fellowship with Him all the time? How much do you spend time praying and getting into the Word? How many books did you read in college? A lot. Right? I don't know. 20 books?
Maybe not that much.
Not that much.
10? Okay, maybe
not. Okay, 10. How about this book? How much do you know about this book? You think you can be perfected without getting into the Word and spend time with the Lord and let the Holy Spirit who indwells you enlighten you, speak to you? How are you going to be perfected? Right? Tonight, I hope that I can encourage you to be serious in your relationship with the Lord. Because the Lord is coming back soon. Don't think that you still have a lot of time. No. No. The Lord's coming is very near. Okay? The Lord coming. His coming is very near. So, your relationship with the Lord, hey, you better take care of it. You better go on to maturity, to perfection. You still have a few years. But if you don't use it, even given 50 years, you're not going to be perfected. Right? Suppose you don't study. You just fool around at university. Even 10 years, you won't graduate. Right? How about 20? No, you won't graduate. Right. So, may the Lord encourage you all. Really. Don't think this matter of our relationship with the Lord is not important. No, it is the most important thing in your life. Right? If the Lord comes back and you're not perfected, that's not very good. The scripture says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That means you'll be regretting your whole life. Why am I so foolish? Right. Why didn't I take care of that? Why didn't I think that this is very important in my life? Right. So it says here a very strong warning in verse 2. For if the word spoken through angels, meaning to say in Mount Sinai, in the Old Testament days, when the law was given, right, through Moses, to Moses, if this word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedient received a just reward. Listen, there is judgment. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape? And he's talking to Christians, okay? Not to unbelievers. How are you going to escape? You're just saved and you don't care anymore for anything else concerning the Lord. And the Hebrew says, He will and He is able to save us to the uttermost. That means salvation has stages and degrees of salvation. Right? You may be saved from eternal judgment. What about in your daily life? What about in your mind? Are you saved in your mind? What about in your heart? You still have so much desire for so many other things. What about saving from your own flesh? There's so many areas we need to be saved. Right? So the Word of God says He is able to save us to the uttermost. So, hey, right? We really need to take care of such a great salvation. And it says here, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? Right? So, right in the very start here, the writer of Hebrews already gave us a warning that we need to take the Word of God seriously. Right? So, praise the Lord. We really need to see that. Now, let's go back to chapter 6. Concerning the matter of milk and solid food. And here in chapter 6, I'm sorry, let's go to chapter 5, not chapter 6 here. Verse 14, right? Solid food, which is the word of righteousness. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age, who are mature. That is, those who by reason of use. Now, that means you have to exercise yourself to experience the Word of God. If you don't use the Word of God, you don't get into the Word of God. You don't have a living relationship with Him. You don't practice. How can you really be perfected? You cannot be perfected. By reason of use means it's not just once in a while. If you want to be perfected in doing certain things, you have to practice. Right? If you want to be a pianist, what do? Practice once a year, once a week. How often do you think you practice? Many years ago in Europe, I knew a brother, right? His name is Charlie. He learned, not this Charlie here. He learned from a very, very famous pianist in Paris. And he really was good. He was really good. And he told me that he practiced at least 8 hours a day because he's a concert pianist. He was really good. 8 hours a day. That is, if you want to be perfected as a pianist, suppose you just play whenever you like Calvin. You play piano for fun, right? So you can play, but nobody's coming to your concert. If you're going to give a concert there, you think people are going to come and listen to your concert. You may even have to pay them to come. I'm not even sure they'll come if you pay them. That means you need to really practice. If you don't practice, you cannot play. You can only play, okay, poorly. And that brother told me that you have to practice until you become one with the piano. If you are you and the piano, still the piano, you're still not good enough. You have to practice until you and the piano become one. My goodness. And that's just playing the piano, okay? What about spiritual life? What about your experience of Christ day by day in your daily living? What about applying the Lord? What about getting into the Word? What about your prayer life? How often do you pray to the Lord? 5 minutes a day? If it's 10 minutes, you fall asleep. How often do you fast and pray? How often do you hear the Lord speaking to you? Right? How much time do you spend with the Lord? What about your reading the Bible? Is it consistent? All of these, don't think you can go on to perfection without reason of use and practice. Exercise, you cannot. Don't fool yourselves, really. Right? Especially the young people. Don't think you're still young or you want to do this, you want to do that. No, no. The Lord is the most important person in this whole universe. If today we neglect Him, it is not wise. You're going to have trouble when He comes back. I assure you, you're going to have trouble. Right? So solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, to discern what is from the Lord and what is from yourself, what is heavenly, what is earthly, what is spiritual, what is fleshly, what is life, what is death, what is truth, what is a lie. You need to be a person who can discern. But if you're not exercised and you're not training yourselves in spiritual matters, you cannot discern. If somebody's telling you the truth, how are you going to know? If somebody just walk in and say, well, is this and that, how are you going to know? How are you going to discern if you're not a spiritual man? Like 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says, a spiritual man discerns all things. Right? So, you need to labor. If you don't labor and you don't practice, you don't sharpen your spiritual sense within yourself, and that is dealing with the word of righteousness. It's not doctrine. How much do you love this word righteous, righteousness? Right? In the Bible, there are so many description concerning the word. You love the word of grace, maybe. Just grace, 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 grace. No. What about life? What about truth? The word of truth. Because in the Bible, the description of the word is the word of grace, the word of truth, the word of life. And here you have the word of righteousness. Are you righteous? Right. So here we really need to deal with the solid food in the Bible. Right? Learn to get into the Word. If you don't, you will not be brought on to perfection. Right. So therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Praise the Lord. Go on to maturity. Don't just remain the same. Our spiritual life must continue to ascend until we reach perfection. Oh Lord, in many other things, I know you all are very diligent. You're studying a business, you're very diligent, you're going to college, you're very diligent, you're holding a job, you're all very diligent, right? And learning new things all the time. Isn't it? Right? You have continuing ed. You have to learn. If you're not going on, nobody's going to hire you at the end. You get stuck at a certain level. No. Right? So you need to keep going on, but how come spiritually you don't go on? Really? Right? So tonight, I want to use this time to encourage you all. Don't stay the same. The church in Quezon City must keep on going and ascending. Yeah. But if you cannot just do nothing and be perfected, that you cannot do that. Right. And if the Lord comes and you're not perfected, that's not good. That's why there's another warning, for example, in chapter 6. Yep. Here in chapter 6, verse 7, there's a warning here. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it. You know, we are the earth, and the rain comes from above. The blessings, the life, the gifts that comes from above from the Lord. Right? For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. Hey, remember, this word is to the Christians, not to the unbelievers. So we all need to take care. It's a warning. The Lord warns us very much. Right, even in chapter 3 and 4. Let's read chapter 3, verse 7. The Holy Spirit says, "Today, if you will hear your voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness." And now the writer is using the people of Israel going through the wilderness, right? And all the time they were rebellious, disobedient, murmuring, complaining against Moses, against the word of God, testing God. "Where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my work 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation." You think God will not be angry, huh? You think God will not be angry? You only know the God who loves. You only know 1 John, God is love, right? I like to hear that too. What about hearing that God is angry with them? You think God will not be angry with you, eh? "Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart." Always. What about you and me? "And they have not known my ways." They don't know. They don't really know God's way. Right? That's why they always went astray, because you like to go your own way. I like to go my own way. Everybody likes to do their own thing, right? Even the Christians. You think you're serving God, but you're just doing what you want to do. And you're not serving God. You have your own ideas. You have your own interpretation. Right? You do what you want to do. Nobody can restrict you. Not even God. "So I swore in my wrath." My goodness. Wrath. You like that word? You think God has no wrath? It says here in my Bible, God not only was angry, but he even swore in his wrath. That means he was really mad. Using our language today, he was mad. He was so angry that he even swore in his wrath and say, "They shall not enter into my rest." Meaning to say, the whole generation who came out of Egypt did not enter into Canaan. And this was used by the writer of the book of Hebrews, warning us. Warning us. Now, what is entering into his rest? Tomorrow, we'll see more about it. It is really to enter into the coming kingdom, the millennial kingdom. You think just as you are today, you can enter in. So rebellious, disobedient, go your own way, fleshly, doing a lot of things hidden in darkness. You think the Lord doesn't see, eh? Is he blind? You think he's blind? No. is written, he is a God who searches the heart and the hidden parts. He knows everything. Let me read to you chapter 4. Verse 12, beginning in verse 12, let's read. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is some creatures. No creatures. Are you an exception? No? Are you a creature? Yeah. So no creature. No creature is hidden from his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him. What? What? Oh, come on, read it loudly. You think you can escape? Suppose God tells you, Schubert, give me an account right now. What are you going to do? Suppose. What are you going to do? What kind of an account are you going to give him? A good account? A perfect account? You did everything rightly, correctly, well-pleasing to God. You get an A in every way. How about that? Right. So don't think that our relationship with God is no problem. Everything is okay. No, not everything is okay. No. So we must really learn to take the Word of God seriously. If we don't do that, I'm afraid any time if you and I go, maybe because, hey, I don't know how long I'm going to live, right? Do you? You may be very healthy today, but tomorrow, nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And after you're gone, you're waiting for judgment. You have to give an account, right? So, what I mean to say is, today, if you hear his voice, it says today. It didn't say tomorrow. If you refuse to hear him today, I doubt you will hear him tomorrow. We all like to say tomorrow, right? Mañana, tomorrow. I'm lazy today. I'll do my homework tomorrow. And tomorrow, you're lazy just as today. What are you going to do? You keep on pushing it till tomorrow. That's what we are, right? So the Bible says today. And today means every day. Because tomorrow is today. Right? If you sleep tonight and tomorrow the sun rises, it became today. For tomorrow. So today means every day. Every day you need to learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. If I ask you today, even tonight, how often do you hear him? How often? Right? So, learn to listen today. Right? Learn to take every opportunity to gain Christ today. We sang that song that we want to gain him, right? So, learn. You have to really give an effort. Be diligent. Right? So, in chapter 4... Let us continue to say, and let us continue to read verse 11. Therefore, it says, verse 11, Let us read verse 11. Okay. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Another warning. There's so many warnings. I can read to you the whole night tonight about all of those warnings. And it is not good enough just to do it, but you have to do it diligently. Because if you want to make it to perfection, to reach the goal, you have to have the attitude of Paul, I pursue after, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. He is not just moving like a turtle, but he is pressing on and he's pursuing. In other words, pursues there means really, by all means, with all force. The word is the same root word as persecuting. Persecuting. Right? So here, this word tells us we need to be diligent. To do it diligently. Because if you're not diligent, you just take it easy and you think, I'll do it little by little, slowly, if I have time. If you say that, you'll never have time. Okay? One day the Lord will tell you, how come you have so much time for other things, but for His heavenly things, which are supposed to be the most important, you don't have time. What are you going to answer Him? Karina, Lord, I'm too busy. Is there anything that is more important than Him? You cannot even allocate a proper time in your life for Him. Right? According to the principle of the Bible, you should give the best tenth, the tithe, the best tenth to the Lord. But you only think maybe in terms of money. Forget about money, because God doesn't need your money, okay? What is He going to do? Buy a Mercedes? Buy a motorcycle? What is He going to do? Right? But He wants your time. He wants your time. There's 7 days a week. A tenth of that is what? Right? Less than a day. But hey, it must be about 15 hours or something like that. Can you not even give 15 hours a week for the Lord? Are you really so busy? What about sleeping less? What about watching less TV? Right? Yeah, why? Why not? Time is in your hand. You think if the Lord made or extended time to 48 hours a day, you think you'll have more time left for the Lord? I don't think so. Who think you'll have more time for the Lord? Tell me. You think? You think you'll have more time for the Lord? Oh, you'll have more time for other things. The enemy will invent a lot of other things for you to do. So at the end, you won't have time for the Lord. Right? So, let us be diligent. Use the time properly to pursue the Lord. I'm saying this especially to you all here in the Philippines, in Manila, because I know you're very distracted. How much time do you spend in Facebook? A lot, right? A lot. A lot, isn't it? A lot. Yeah, you too, right? How about spending more time here? This is the real Facebook. You're looking at the face of the Lord here. Yeah. Right? No more Facebook. You just change this to this. If you spend as much time in this word as the time you spend in your Facebook, your face will change. Your face will be shining. Right. Instead of, your face will be shining. Why am I saying this? Because time is in your hand. It depends on what you want to do and how you want to do it, how you want to use it. So if we neglect the Lord, another warning, shall I read another warning? Oh Lord Jesus, right, may the Lord really help us. Right, I'm really concerned, because we looked at other things much more important than God's business, than what God wants to accomplish with us. Okay, I'll read another warning for you tomorrow, not tonight. We have half an hour. I want to show you chapters 1 and 2, just briefly. First of all, I'm glad that the book of Hebrews the writer did not mention his name. I think it's very significant, because it should not be man speaking. You know, all these centuries, all the Christians are just listening to man speaking, really. And they uplifted man, and man made themselves so important. But I'm glad there is at least one book in the Bible that did not mention who the writer is. And he started by saying, God spoke. It is not what man is speaking that is important, but it is what God speaks. You have to listen to God. Don't listen to men. Man's word is not reliable. No. Don't believe in just man's word. You have to come to the word of God and listen to God speaking. Right? God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. This is in the Old Testament days. It's not easy to be prophets, because none of the prophets in the Old Testament days spoke by himself. That's why it is all the time the word of God coming to them. And they dare not speak their own word, because it's very serious. God will judge them. And there are many false prophets. Right? So here, right, we can see in the Old Testament days, God used the prophets. But he continues to say, has in these last days, meaning to say in the days of the new covenant, not in the old covenant days. In these last days means today, in the age of the new covenant, he has spoken to us by his Son. Praise God. This is a very important thing that we have to see, because in the New Testament age, it is not just doctrines and teachings and interpretation of the Bible, but now the Son himself came, and he is the embodiment of the Word of God. You see the reality in this person. Today there are so many speakers, so many preachers, they can just tell you what is right, but you don't see it in their lives. Just like the Pharisees and the scribes. They told people what to do, they themselves, they don't do it. It's not going to work today like that. No. It says there the Word became flesh in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord not only spoke the word of God, but you can see the substance in this person. Whatever he spoke to us, he has the reality, and he is that substance. No wonder he is called the Word of God. That is his name. Because now the word become very solid and substantial, tangible. Right? even, yeah, you can see it in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder when the Lord spoke, his speaking was very different than that of the Pharisees and the scribes. Meaning to say, today we should pay attention not just to some words, but we should pay attention to the reality, the substance. Words are very cheap. You can be very eloquent, so what? The mega church there in Singapore, the whole directorship went to prison. From the main pastor, the assistant pastor, the financial officer, everyone, six of them altogether were condemned by the Singaporean government and put in prison. It's very easy to preach, even to make money out of preaching. Don't think we Christians cannot do that. Did not the Jews turn the temple into a marketplace, even a den of thieves? That pastor sent his wife to Hollywood to study in an acting school in Hollywood with the reasoning that so that she can become a better preacher, to preach the gospel better by going to an acting school in Hollywood. Why? You preach the gospel by acting? Then you're a hypocrite. The word hypocrite means acting. You're not that person, but you act like that person, so you're a hypocrite. And they funnel, $25 million. No wonder they ended in jail. Religion is a good business. Better go and find a job and work. Paul says, I work with my two hands. Right? Don't expect people to support you. Forget about that. Today, what we all need to really look for is not just words, empty words. But in the new covenant days, God speaks to us in the Son and by His Son. Praise the Lord. It is really wonderful. And you can see the reality and the fulfillment of every word in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his whole life, when he lived on this earth, he fulfilled every single word concerning himself written in the Bible. Praise the Lord. How wonderful it is. So when the Lord spoke, he not only tell you what is the truth, but he is the truth. And he imparts this truth into you. But what about today? You hear a nice message, you go home, you forget everything, there's nothing in you. And a few days later, somebody asks you, what did you hear on Sunday? What did I hear? You forgot. Okay, if you forgot, maybe you don't have a good memory, but what about the reality, the substance? Is anything of that wonderful substance imparted into your life? This is important. This is important. And this is what Hebrews tells us today, in these last days, God speaks to us in His Son. Praise the Lord. And this Son was fully described here in chapters 1 and 2. Especially in chapters 1 and 2. And tonight, briefly, and you can read it yourself, but you need to realize, why did God send His Son? Not just for salvation. You may think, well, He sent His Son to die for us on a cross to accomplish redemption, which is true, but that is just the beginning. Right? So first of all, He says, verse 2, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Then it says, whom He has what? Appointed heirs of all things. Praise the Lord. His Son, Jesus Christ, incarnated to be a man like you and me. Now, the first thing mentioned was that He was made heir over all things. Who created all things? Tell me. God. So, does he have to be an heir of all things? No. Right? Because it belongs to him. If you created these things, and this thing belongs to you, right? Don't say, oh, I'm the heir of this. No. You're the creator, right? It belongs to you. But for Christ to be heir over all things is in his status as a man, incarnated as a man. Why? Because God's intention with all of us is to make us heir over all things. This is what Romans 8 tells us. We are co-heirs with Christ. Don't think Christ alone is going to inherit all things. Of course, he is qualified, but he didn't want to, and he doesn't want to inherit all things by himself. He wants all of us to be his co-heir. But hey, to be a co-heir, you have to be qualified. Are you? Do you want to inherit all things with Christ? Yeah, you know what it means, right? To inherit. Suppose you have a rich father, right? And you're the only child, or you're the only heir. You're going to inherit. Now, Christ is the unique heir, but we are all baptized into him. We become members of his body. We are made co-heirs. Is this your goal? Do you treasure that? Tell me. Do you want to be an heir? To inherit all things with Christ? How about you? Isn't that wonderful? Right? Praise the Lord. This is your destiny. We're co-heirs with him. That is why you need to be perfected. Because if you're not perfected when Christ comes, you will lose that period of the millennial kingdom. Let me draw it again on the board. This is too short, so I'm going to put it together, okay, so that you can have a clear picture. Here is the beginning of Adam. Yeah, let's write Adam, right? And when God created Adam, God told Adam, right, he should rule over all of his creation, and he should have dominion. God wanted Adam to rule and have dominion. This is what man is made for. Right? But we know Adam fell. Adam fell. There's the fall of man there. Right? So God begins to work, right, in order to recover mankind. Right? I'm not going to start with Enoch or Noah. I'm going to start with the Old Testament, okay? This is the Old Testament days. God started with, firstly, Abraham, right? Then Isaac, and then Jacob, and then Israel. Here is Israel, right? The nation of Israel, right? And God really wanted to be their king. And so God is gaining for himself a new race of people. Is calling a new race to fulfill his plan and his purpose with man. God is not going to rule over this world by himself, no. From the very beginning, and Ephesians chapter 1 tells us, even before the foundation of the world, God has chosen us. Not the angels, but us. So chapters 1 and chapter 2 of Hebrews compared Christ to the angels. Now, you have to understand the reason why the writer of Hebrews in chapters 1 and 2 compares Jesus Christ to the angels, that he is much better, much higher, much more honor, received much more honor than the angels, right? I'll come back to that point later. So here, you have to realize that God is working in the Old Testament days. Here's the Old Testament days. But as we read in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, people of Israel didn't want to. They were rebellious. So they didn't make it. In short, the people of Israel did not make it. Even those who went into the good land, at the end they messed up everything and lost the nation of Israel. So they didn't make it. Right? So, but God is preparing his ways, and through all this time he's revealing to us his plan with man. Okay. Then comes the New Testament age here. New Testament age. Praise the Lord. Right? Now the Lord is doing the real thing. Here, the Bible call it the shadows or figures, right? Figures or types. That means it's not the real thing yet. It's just preparation. Right. Now, in the New Testament age, it is now the age of reality. Substance here, right? You can really see, right, we are no longer in the period of shadows, figures, and types, what Hebrews is telling us. We are now dealing with reality. That's why I don't go back to this empty doctrines and teachings, which will not help you. What we need is the real substance of Christ. What we need is the Spirit indwelling us, right? And the Lord is writing into our heart. The law here is on the tablet of stones here, right? But in the new covenant, what God is doing is to write his laws now in your heart. Not just outwardly, but now in our heart. Now, what I want to show you is this. Then comes the period, the third period of the millennial kingdom here. The millennial kingdom. Now, this part is a very special part, designed by God's wisdom, because God knows that not all of his people today is faithful and really want to be perfected. So, in this age, those who are perfected, they will inherit. They will inherit this part of the kingdom. Rule over the nations. They will inherit with Christ. And those who are not perfected, you will have to go through a dispensational punishment here. Dispensational punishment. I'm going to write punishment here. Don't think you will not be punished by God. God is righteous. God is very righteous. Right? So if we want to inherit with Christ, and this is really our portion, today you need to be perfected. So Christ is the heir of all things, and we are the co-heirs if we are faithful to the end. That is why it says here in the book of Hebrews, we have to hold fast the confidence to the end. If you don't hold fast to the end, you quit somewhere along the line, sorry, you will not inherit. You will not be a co-heir. Okay, now, then we continue in verse 2, okay? Let's continue in verse 2. Whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Look, because our Lord Jesus Christ is God. Praise the Lord. As God, he has dual statues, our Lord. Firstly, he was God. As God, he made all things. But as a man, he became heir of all things. Right? And verse 3, he was the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person or substance. And then he upheld all things by the word of his power. My, the word is so important. I hope you really get into the word. Then it says, and when he had by himself purge our sins. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now I'm going to jump because of time. Verse 8. But to the Son, he says, because the Son is now sitting in the right hand of the Majesty on high, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companion. Now, this is very important, because what God wants to accomplish with Christ as a man is not just redemption on the cross, but to bring him up to sit on the throne at the right hand of the Majesty on high as a man. And this is your destination, your destiny. This is our future, to be co-kings with Christ and to sit with him on the throne. I think many of you already know the verses, right, in the book of Revelation. He who overcomes, I will make him to sit with me on my throne. Right? And he who overcomes, I will make him to rule over the nations with an iron rod. The goal. This is very important, especially today for all of you, because the Lord is coming very soon. The goal of Christ's accomplishment is not just redemption. That's just the beginning. Hebrews bring us right away to the throne, that after he accomplished redemption, as a man he ascended, sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And it is for his kingdom. The kingdom. Praise the Lord for the kingdom. Don't underestimate that. Because chapter 2 tells us, listen, let's turn to chapter 2 very quickly. Verse 5. Chapter 2, verse 5. For God, he refers to God, has not put the world to come. This is the world to come, the millennial kingdom. In subjection to angels. No. No. The world to come is not given to be ruled by the angels. You know why the Lord said that here? Why God said this? Because the pre-Adamic world was given to the angels to rule before even Adam was created 6,000 years ago. The pre-Adamic world was ruled by the angels and by the archangels. Lucifer, he fell and became Satan. So today, our world, it says, lies in the hands of the evil one. He's still ruling. He is usurping that kingship. And God wants us. We are supposed to take back that authority away from the hand of Satan. And we are supposed to be ruling in the coming age. And you have to understand this. I know this is not easy to understand, but the very fact that he has not put a world to come in subjection to the angels tells us from Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28 that the pre-Adamic world was given to Satan. That is, he was not Satan then, but under the rule of the archangel and the angelic being. That is why Satan is called the prince or the ruler of this world. And you have to ask, when did he have such a power? Right? So, meaning to say here that the coming world, the world that is to come, right? In verse 6, but one testified in a certain place, that is in Psalm 8, right? Saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you take care of him. You made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with honor and glory, glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet, meaning to say under man's feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now, right now, we do not yet see all things put under him. Him meaning to say us, man. But we see Jesus. We see Jesus. Meaning to say, what Jesus has done and accomplished is not just for himself, but for us. To bring us there to where he has attained. You may not take this seriously, but I do. This is your future. You don't care for your future? You don't care for the very purpose why God has created us? What is your goal for today? Just to make some money, have a nice living, and then die. Is that all? If our purpose of life is like that, then we are not any better than a dog, okay? But you have to think of the coming world. It's going to be ruled by you. So you being a medical doctor, sorry, is just very, very temporary. No, it's good. Better than being a bum, right? But you have to realize that is nothing compared to what God has prepared for us. And we are so short-sighted, we don't see what is coming. That is why we treasure, we hold on to so many things on this earth. To tell you the truth, brothers and sisters, I don't want to hold on to anything today. I don't want to hold on to anything. You can take anything away from me, that doesn't matter. Really, and I really meant it. Paul says, he considered all things dung, rubbish, dog's food. Yeah. But today we consider things so precious. I don't know why. Right? Yes, we do need to make a living. That's fine. But that is not your goal. That is not your goal. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Well, of course, because of the flesh. He became a man. Right? For the suffering of death, then he was crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Praise the Lord, right? So you can realize our goal is the kingdom in the coming age. It's the kingdom. Amen. And that's why it says here, let me go back here to chapter 1, verse 13. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? Twice in the book of Hebrews, this is mentioned. Right? And remember, there are a lot of enemies today. All the principalities and powers. Power of darkness. You have all the demonic activities. You have the flesh. You have so many enemies of God today. And the Lord is sitting on the throne waiting until he make his enemies his footstool. And how is he going to do that without you and all of us here cooperating with him? Unfortunately, we even sometimes became his enemies. Do what do things that are against him and against his purpose. Right? So here you can really see. Now, it's very important. One more thing and we can end the meeting here. Verse 10 in chapter 2. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, by whom are all things, him he refers to God the Father, in bringing many sons to glory. And this is our goal. And what is glory? It is here, to sit with him on the throne, to be crowned with glory and honor. If you miss that, I tell you, I don't know what to say anymore to you. Right? To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now, what is the captain for? What is the captain for? What is the general for? What is the colonel for? To lead what? To lead a choir? To lead what? An army. What is an army for? To fight. Are you fighting the battle? Yeah. Oh. If we are not fighting the battle, then what do you need a captain for? Right? About army, well, you need a captain. You only know you have a savior, but you don't know you have a captain. He is the captain of our salvation to lead us in this spiritual battle. No wonder in Ephesians chapter 6, we are fighting the battle against the spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places, against principalities and powers. But my question is this, are you fighting this battle? Are we? Calvin, are we fighting this spiritual battle? And if you say yes, then you have to tell me, how are we doing it? By what? Spending our time doing so many other things? Getting involved with our own, I don't know what, future and... You know, what did Paul say about a soldier? Do not be what? Do not be entangled and involve yourself with the affairs of this world. Otherwise, you cannot be in the battlefield. You'll be in the business field, not in the battlefield. You'll be in La Salle and Ateneo. There's no battle there. So, in order to reach the kingdom. Listen, the kingdom is a matter of battle today. And it is a matter of righteousness, not lawlessness. Because God's kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. He loves righteousness and he hates lawlessness. How about you? How about all of us here? What? Half-half? 50-50? And the scepter of his kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. This is the kingdom. When we think about the kingdom, we are talking about righteousness. Listen, all these kingdoms of this world, there's no righteousness, right? It's all crookedness. Lawlessness. There's a lot of things happening here. How about the Philippines? Right. So you can really see, but God's kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. Right? Then here in chapter 12 at the very end, verse 28, let's read it together, right? 28 and 29. There's another warning there. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. How about that? So the matter of the kingdom is very serious. If we do not have the concept of the kingdom, which actually is the goal there in the book of Hebrews, you're going to miss it. So many of us don't even have that concept concerning entering the kingdom. Right? So may the Lord open our eyes, really, because the time is near. The time is near. I hope that we will all wake up and set our goals straight, know where we're heading, what we're doing, and everybody must give themselves to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Teach me how to go this way. Right? Learn how to experience Christ. And I'm very sure that all these offerings that God has prepared there, right, for us to bring to Him as the offerings, what He required of us will make us righteous and will bring us to the goal. We don't do it, it's up to you, right? But if you want to make it, I believe the priesthood is a very important factor in reaching the goal. Remember, Revelation says He has made us kings and priests. So these two are very, very closely related. You want to be a king, you have to learn to be a priest. And only if you exercise the priesthood, you will be qualified to be a king. So all of these offerings are very important. So may the Lord really open our eyes to see this and encourage all of us. Yeah, take this word seriously. Amen. Some prayers.